This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
Dive feed you some more football. Less than a month away from the first round of the NFL Draft. Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Cam Ward, at the very least, expected to be the first quarterback taken in this year's draft. Or could Shedeur Sanders maybe change the mindset there? But Cam Ward's strengths, weaknesses, does he compare to Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels last year? I mean, we all know quarterback is a position of need. Tennessee needs a quarterback, like Cleveland and the Giants certainly do as well. What about Cam Ward? Is his status high because he's the best at a position of need? Or is he legitimately, Vinny, a number one level dude here?
I think he's a legit number one dude. And from listening to all the talking heads and stuff, I think they would tend to agree with that. I think he's got a really good arm. The ball comes out extremely quick. And it's got a lot of velocity on it. He can throw the deep ball. He led the country in touchdown passes. You know, he didn't have a ton of interceptions. And he played at Miami 1 year and was the leader, you know, and brought that team to, you know, a good season. So I think he is the first pick of the draft, period. You know, and then Shedeur after that, you know, Shedeur. If he had Deion's athletic ability, he'd really be dangerous. But he doesn't run that well, and he is really accurate. He doesn't have the gun that Cam Ward has, but he's extremely accurate. He's tough as hell because he's been sacked, 92 times in 2 years? And look, he took Jackson State and made them into something. He took University of Colorado that was 1-11, and that was one of the worst teams in college football. You know, and brought them to respectability. So the kid is good. He's really smart. And he could handle the New York market. He could handle the big city market because of, you know, his background and what his dad was Showtime. So they grew up with Showtime.
But, Nolan, we were talking off the air, and we've talked about it on the air as well, Vinny. You know, Deion's going to be involved here. And with the Giants, you've got lame duck coach, lame duck GM. They're going to finish last, barring something dramatic in the NFC East, but seems like Deion's all in on the Giants at three, taking Shador here.
Well, multiple people have quoted him as saying as much, but to get back to the drama point, he's now disputing what he did and didn't say. Oh, so okay. This is a little...
Maybe there is drama here.
I'm learning about this as I'm reading it here, but he was a keynote speaker, Deion that is, at a ProMat conference. It's a manufacturing and supply chain company. Why he was the keynote, I don't know. Why sports came up, another story, but multiple people in attendance have quoted him with saying, let's hope it's New York as far as who's going to draft his son. He has since quickly disputed that on social media, saying, quote, this is a lie. We're thankful for whatever God chooses for us. So pretty simply put there, but one person here has got a picture of him sitting on the stage saying with the quote, we're hoping for New York, but apparently he didn't say it.
Well, he didn't want to insult Cleveland.
Right. Only other one. And when you say New York, I guess you Jets and Giants, you know? I mean, because...
Go the technicality route there.
Right, because Fields is a one-year deal.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, for Deion's sake, I mean, just look at it. Okay, say Shador has a really good season, but the team sucks and they fired a coach, you know, and... Then Deion, you know, in Colorado has a big year. You don't think Deion's name would be up for that one?
But what was all after the combine anyway? All the hubbub that his draft stock was plummeting. Mel Kiper and Mike Tannenbaum within the last week both have him going three overall to the Giants. So where did all that start?
Well,
was he off-putting to some of the people?
Well, yeah, I guess probably they didn't. He's probably got some arrogance about him, and some people probably didn't like that. Probably carries himself, Bob, differently than... I mean, when you watch him on his interviews and, you know, and all those kind of things, he is a very confident in himself. I would say that, you know. And maybe it did rub some people the wrong way. And who knows? I mean, all it does is take one coach or whatever to go tell Adam Schefter or Albert Breer or whatever, we didn't like him, you know, and then it just kind of, you know, then it carries on a little bit. But then, you know, like about a week after the combine, then what happens is people get back to the film and do all that stuff, and all that combine crap goes away.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, NFL Lunch here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Now, where does Jackson Dart fit into the equation? Not even projected to be a first round pick at near the end of the college football season, because he was throwing a ton of picks, right, for Ole Miss there down the stretch. But Mel's got him going 9 to New Orleans. Tannenbaum has him going 26 to the Rams.
More than likely, it sounds like he's going to go in the first round. And, you know, he's an athletic kid, played a ton of football. And that's the thing. With all three of these quarterbacks, they've all played a ton of football, which is most recent history, that's proven to be a very good thing. So with Dart, he's athletic. He can make plays running too. The thing back to Shador for 1 second, Bob, is you know, he had his offensive coordinator was an NFL offensive coordinator and an NFL head coach in Pat Shurmur. So he would be farther along in that game, whereas like a Jackson Dart, you know, Lane Kiffin, where you're signaling everything and holding signs and doing all that, they're not going to be as advanced in the pro game right away as a Shador Sanders would be.
But is he considered more of a reach?
Oh, yeah. But I mean,
if he goes in the top 10, are we going to be surprised at that?
I think we'll be, because it's a quarterback, I think we'll be surprised but not shocked. I think that would be, because if you are New Orleans and you like him, just kind of like Denver did with Knicks. I mean, if you like him and you say, oh, he's going to go at 26. Well, we don't pick at 20. We pick at 9. Then we don't pick again until, 42 or whatever. So, you know, or are you going to trade back? And then if somebody takes you, then you really look like an a-hole, you know. So if you like him and you think he's your guy, you take him.
288-81057 The Fan, and it worked out well for Denver this year, no doubt about it. We'll come back. Speaking of the draft, or the profile coming up, staying on the D-line, going to Ann Arbor, Michigan, with a guy that's probably not going to be around when the Ravens pick at 27, but we're going to talk about him anyway, and we're going to do baseball predictions throughout the 30 MLB teams. We're not going to break down every team, but we'll do divisions with Gabe Lax at 1:30. Then another funhouse trip with Nolan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
McGraw.
Vinny Serrato's Draft Profiles. News, notes, and analysis on the 2025 NFL Draft Class. Vinny and Haney. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Down and 11 from the 41. Rosemer in trouble. It goes down. Mace in the place. Macy Graham.
And that's Gus Johnson Fox on the call there. Draft Profile number 2. On this Turn It Up Tuesday, Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Vinny takes us to Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yeah, Mason Graham, University of Michigan, 6'3", 306, junior, defensive tackle, jersey 55. He's got 32-inch arms, 9 1/8 hand, 24 reps, 2 1/4. Now, in 2022, freshman year, played in all 14 games. Had 27 tackles, 2 1/2 sacks. 23, first team All Big Ten. Started 13 games, 36 tackles, 7 1/2 tackles for loss, 3 sacks, and a forced fumble. And this year, first-team All-American, Outland Trophy winner, started 12 games, 45 tackles, 7 tackles for loss, 3 1/2 sacks. His strengths, size, quick off the snap, good punch, lockout shed. He can find a football, good motor. He's smart, never out of a play, strong lower. He can stack at the point of attack. Very good technique and fundamentals. He is a phenomenal technician. Quick hands and feet. Keeps his shoulders square. Strong hands. Was a wrestler. And it definitely shows. Quick first step and pass. Quick hands and pass rush. Has power in a bull rush to collapse a pocket. Good on stunts and twists. Excellent at leverage. He can split the double teams. That's the thing about wrestlers. They understand leverage. low man wins. Good change of directions. He'll chase down screens. Has violent hands. Smart, nasty, athletic, versatile player. He can line up anywhere. Nose, three, five. Excellent base and balance. Weakness, he needs more pass rush moves and counters. Arm length versus long-armed offensive linemen, because he's got 32-inch arms. And, you know, like most times, tackles are the ones with the longer arms. The centers and guards, you know, are shorter arms, which, you know, cater to him more. But in summary, this kid had all the qualities you want in a player. Smart, tough, durable, productive, plays all over the D-line, very good fundamentally. Short arms hurt some, but he's a football player. Plug, play him, just like Hutchinson. Don't overthink, well, I can get a more athletic guy, you know, all that, like Jacksonville did, you know, and not take Hutchinson. Dude's a football player, productive, he's won games. Don't overthink it. Get him, be happy you got him, because he's going to be a hell of a player for you.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN.com, the GM, has the Bears taking Mason Graham at 10. Mel Kiper, Baltimore Zone, has him going 5 to Jacksonville.
Yeah, and Jacksonville, like I said, don't overthink it. If he's sitting there, he's a football player and he's going to get you better, because you're not taking, oh, this guy, you know, his projection. You know, if he reaches his ceiling. Yeah, but this kid's already at the ceiling, you know, and he's going to keep getting better. Don't overthink it. Just take him.
Who has been the best defensive player that you've scouted so far, no matter the position? Because I wasn't here for Abdul Carter. Yeah, I'm guessing he rated pretty high.
Oh, man. I'm telling you what, Bob. He was scary good. I mean, that's one that, I mean, if you put on the TV... Your wife watch football?
Hell yeah.
Your daughter watch football?
Ravens.
Okay. If your daughter was watching Penn State, she would say, Dad, who's that number 11 there?
Okay.
He's
stands out.
Yes. And Bob, other pass rushers, it's him, and then it's everybody else. I mean, when you think of Micah Parsons, LeVar Arrington, Abdul Carter, all jersey number 11, which is the Penn State tradition, that's what he is.
So he will not be around at 27, is what you're saying.
Bob,
he's going to be gone by the top three,
fair enough. If he or Travis Hunter are the best players in the draft, bar none, you know, quarterback, whatever. Best players, Carter or Hunter.
It's 5880-1057, the Fan. We'll have two more draft profiles for you tomorrow as the first round is in less than a month. Maryland women, they win in double overtime last night, coming from 17 down to stun Alabama 111-108. South Carolina now on the schedule for Brenda Freeze. And as we've talked about last couple of days, the Maryland men, Derek Queen's buzzer beater stuns Colorado State. Terps now get number one seed Florida, 739 from San Francisco, coming up Thursday night. We'll have the game for you here on 105.7 The Fan. And as we've said as well, we still have two more days to do it. Orioles open in Toronto. So, Rashad, get the brain focused. You can do both. You can cover the Ravens, Orioles and the Terps. You can get it both going on. Keep in mind, Friday's a work day, so you might not be able to party like it's 1999, but you can still focus on both, because the Orioles, it's just the first game. Now, you don't want them to get clobbered, but you want them to win. Remember last year, they destroyed the Angels. Corbin Burns had a ton of K's. It was like, hey, all systems go. We'll see if the Orioles start the season in Toronto with a W, and then, of course, first Sweet 16 game that Maryland will play in 9 years. Last time the Terps were in the Sweet 16, they played the number one seed. It was Kansas. Did not go well.
Who would be the bigger upset, Bob, the men or the women, if they win?
Oh, the women. They're getting 17.5 points.
Woo!
I mean, the men, we could all sit here with great confidence saying if the Terps win, we're not stunned at all. I mean, the Maryland women upset the defending national champions. I think that would rate pretty high on the shocker. Not a mind-blowing. And we're talking about Brent Freeze, 4 Sweet 16s in 5 years, 12 Sweet 16s overall. They are experienced at this. She is anyway. It's a new team for the most part, but that would still be quite the stunner. The biggest upset on the men's side would have to be probably Arkansas beat number 3 Texas Tech there. But given the way Arkansas and Chip Patterson pointed it out, you know, perfectly, as he always does, that's why we get him on. Hey, they beat KU and St. John's to get here.
Oh.
Texas Tech, with all due respect, they haven't really been tested just yet. But we'll see. Calipari, national championship success, and the best team he ever had. It didn't win it. Got upset by Wisconsin. Remember that with Cat and all of those dudes, young guys. And then they had the John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins team that fell short. Maybe this is his redemption with Arkansas here with a national championship. Arkansas has a national championship history with Nolan Richardson, and Eddie Sutton had him in Final Four. So going to be an interesting matchup for sure. We'll come back, talk some baseball. Who's going to win the American League East? Hey, Neil Solins, Tampa Radio. Thanks. Up for grabs. All five teams have a chance. I don't necessarily agree with that, but a division that could be up for grabs, how about that AL Central? Talk about the start of the baseball season in earnest coming up here on Thursday. Orioles in Toronto taking on the Blue Jays. Here to talk about that and everything else going on as we get ready for hopefully an exciting 2025 campaign. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. USA Today, let's welcome back to the show, Gabe Lax. Gabe, what is happening? Thanks for joining us again here in Baltimore.
Yeah, it's right around the corner here, so it seemed like a very long spring, but now it's go time, apparently, so let's go.
All right, let's start with the Blue Jays, the first birds here, before we get to the Orioles, and they were a big disappointment, arguably the biggest disappointment in the American League in 2024. They have some big contract issues. They're going to have to be addressed. Vlad Jr. has already Mutombo'd the offer that they gave him in spring training. How much could that possibly hang over their heads this year, a disgruntled star? Or could this be a team that's going to look to redeem itself after that bottoming out when a lot of people thought they could be one of the favorites to win the World Series last year?
Just a great variance in what this team could be this year. Start with Vladdy. I think he'll be fine. You know, he seemed extremely confident when he sort of turned down that contract offer and ready to put up a big season and perhaps, I don't know if you say prove the Blue Jays wrong, but at the very least strengthen his position. In a lot of ways, there's only one way to go but up for this team, and so much talk about Vladdy, but Bo Bichette to me really is kind of the key guy on this team. Just a really bad and injury plagued season last year, very uncharacteristic of him. They got off to such a bad start. They were buried by Memorial Day. You know, he ends up hitting .225, only playing in 81 games. So he, too, is a free agent, very highly motivated. And, he's still just 26, 27 years old. He's a really good player and ready to kind of get back into that conversation of maybe getting a nice nine-figure kind of contract or something close to that. He needs a big year. And then the pitching is really interesting because a couple of their kind of glue guys, veteran guys, Kevin Gausman and Chris Bassett, a little slippage last year. Weren't quite Gausman, kind of lost that dominant, strikeouts per nine innings and all that kind of stuff. And Bassett had a career-worst ERA. So, if they can just be a little steadier and Max Scherzer stays upright, the pitching should be okay. But all that stuff can go in so many different directions. So that's why I think they're really just kind of a fascinating team to watch this year, given that almost anything can happen.
Gabe, let's get away from the AL East and talk about the Centrals, both in the American and National League. Three teams come out of the Central in the American League last year. Maybe Minnesota, at the end of the day, might be the most talented of them all. Milwaukee won their division by 10 games, and, they've had attrition again. But what about Adamas is gone, et cetera, et cetera. Which of the Centrals, American or National, should be the more entertaining or intriguing division?
I'm going to go with the AL on that one just because, again, they got three teams onward last year. That was crazy. Nobody envisioned that, certainly. And I kind of like the Tigers in this group. I think they really, the way A.J. Hinch kind of handled the team down the stretch last year with a lot of conviction and a lot of confidence, I think he knows how to handle this kind of weird pitching thing that they got going on. I think bringing back Jack Flaherty was a really solid move. Kind of wild. They ended up acquiring their starting shortstop, Trey Sweeney, in exchange for, you know, for Flaherty. And now he's back in their rotation. If he's healthy, you know, suddenly it's a really nice look with the best pitcher in baseball right now, Tarek Skubal, at the top of that thing. And then you get the bottom three guys and mixing and matching with the bullpen and all that. And the continued maturation of their young hitters, you know, Riley Green still just 24 years old and then already an all-star caliber guy in that lineup. Gleyber Torres, he's out of New York. The pressure's off him a little bit, but, you know, very interesting to see how he, you know, slides in amid all these pretty good left-handed hitters. So it's an interesting division. I don't know if Cleveland will have enough offense to kind of buttress their pitching voodoo magic they seem to come up with every year. And but you're right, though. The Twins, you know, are going to be there. And then the Royals with so much talent, I think they'll be right on the playoff bubble, and which is when you get into the whole, you know, how will all the AL East teams do against each other? And will that, you know, will they beat each other up enough that a Kansas City can slide in there from the Central? So, but all these teams are legitimate. It's not like they're going to be all feasting on the White Sox and that's why they get in. So, yeah, that's, and if you're looking at a potential wild card situation, you really got to keep an eye on the Central teams and how they're doing. And that kind of frames how the playoff race might stack up.
Gabe Lax, USA Today, talking baseball with him. Season begins in earnest on Thursday. Orioles in Toronto, 3:07 first pitch against the Blue Jays there, Rogers Center. In the AL West, who's your favorite right now to win the division? Texas already has some injury problems. Everyone's kind of banged up, it seems, as we're in the end of spring training here. But who is your AL West favorite as we sit here, Gabe, on March 25th?
It was the Rangers, and I'm tentatively sticking with the Rangers, even though, you know, obviously John Gray going to be out for a while. They're actually going to, you know, rely on Patrick Corbin in a couple turns through the rotation here coming up. You know, when you're talking about late spring veteran signings, definitely give the edge to the Orioles. You know, Kyle Gibson will probably give them what they want, something resembling a quality start every time. Patrick Corbin, just going to eat some innings for the Rangers, which is a little, you know, a little scary. He could pitch them out of a lot of games, but I really like what they've done with the lineup. Jock Peterson, nice left-handed stick kind of mixing in with those guys. I think the Seager, Simeon crew, I think they have at least one more really good run in them. And then, you look at Wyatt Langford and making that next step up, along with Jake Berger, really nice acquisition to balance the lineup and give it a little more heft at the bottom too. They added nicely to their depth. I don't know how to feel about the Astros. I'm a little down on what they did and didn't do. But you take another look at them. Their pitching's pretty good, if not really good. One more year of Framber Valdez, he'll be on the market next year. Rennell Blanco, not just a no hitter wonder. You know, he ended up with a really solid season last year. And then Hunter Brown, I don't think he'll ever be an ace, but he'll be a solid number three guy. So I'm feeling like, you know, kind of same as it ever was. I don't think the Mariners are going to hit. You know, I really don't. It's nothing has changed there. So. Same as it ever was, I think Texas-Houston as a 1-2 in some order is what we're going to be seeing out there.
Hey, Gabe, is there a team that, you know, not a lot of people are talking about that may surprise a bunch of people that you may like a little bit more than other people do?
Well, there's a couple of what I like to call volatile teams, and I kind of put the Astros in that because they can go in a lot of different directions. I think the Giants are very interesting out in the NL West. Unfortunately for them, they are in the NL West, which is just absolutely loaded, save for everybody beating up on the Rockies. Their pitching is in pretty good shape if Verlander can continue to stay healthy. You know, you kind of take for granted Logan Webb, who's just a really solid all-star caliber guy who can chew up 200 innings atop that lineup. You know, Jungwoo Lee, if he can stay healthy, we saw flashes of what he could do last year. And they have the best left side of the infield in baseball in Willie Adames and Matt Chapman. Those guys are going to be so fun to watch defensively. The question is, you know, can Adames, you know, he's not going to have that nice 30 home run power that he had in Milwaukee most likely. Can he adjust to Oracle Park and take his doubles and not try to do too much? Because he got the biggest free agent contract and, in franchise history, $182 million. So if those parts click, I kind of like the Giants to make a little more noise in a very loaded NL West than people might be expecting.
Gabe Lax, USA Today. Baseball is here. Gabe, we appreciate the time as always. Look forward to talking to you for the next six, and as Oriole fans, hopefully 7 months here.
All right. We'll do it again sometime soon, for sure.
You got Thanks, it. Gabe Lax, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7. The Fan will come back. Fun house trip. Nolan McGraw and the Ravens have added to the nest. Who they bring in, we'll let you know next. Ravens have made an addition to the team. Depth at the cornerback position. So Nolan McGraw, it's a familiar name. A guy that the Ravens have faced on a couple of occasions.
There. Yeah, so familiar. Familiar name, right? Professional move.
Yeah.
Because the name is Chidobe Awuzie.
Correct.
You remember him from his days with the Bengals. Now, a bit of an up-and-down track record here. Started his career with Dallas, but in 2020 only appeared in 8 games, up to 14 and 21, back down to 8 and 22. Lost some starter cachet in 23, only made 10 starts, and then just 8 games for Tennessee last year. So it looks like he's having trouble finding consistency with his play time.
Yeah, he had a torn ACL a couple years back, and then a back issue that took him out of the lineup. He got a pick in the Super Bowl with Cincinnati, picked off Matt Stafford in that one, but depth piece, and we've talked about it, Vinny and Nolan, that a veteran corner coming in is probably going to be part of the equation. And here it is. Question is, we're going to be invited to the party here before it's all said and done.
I would think not another veteran guy. I think they'll draft a rookie guy. But the thing with Awuzie is he had just signed a 3-year, $36 million deal with Tennessee. And they cut him after 1 year. So Tennessee still owes him $7.5 million. The Ravens are paying like 1.2. So this is like a cheap deal for the Ravens, and a good deal for them because Tennessee's paying the whole thing. And for Awuzie, he's going to be able to step right in because Denard Wilson was the coordinator down there. So whatever the system that Denard was using is pretty much the Ravens system, so he'll think that, hey, I know that, you know, so it's going to be an easy transition for him, and it was a very good deal for the Ravens.
It's 58 Haney, 105.7. The Fan will be back tomorrow, Woman Crush Wednesday. Damon Evans going to be on tomorrow, or is that segment now over?
I think he's already at SMU. I mean, he's already, he probably had his introductory press conference.
Right. He's talking to the Dallas station.
He doesn't want to talk to us anymore. Oh, wow. Well. It was good while it lasted.
Yeah, guys.
For sure. Hello, guys. Hey, brother.
Those, the music suggestions, though. Music suggestions.
No doubt about it.
Top 10 pop radio suggestions.
We haven't heard a Kelly Clarkson song in quite some time. But anyway, enough of that. We're back tomorrow. But right now, let's go to that fun house real quick.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Well, speaking of Maryland, some angst amongst the fan base here. Says there's a lot of mixed reports out there about Willard's future. I'm still not convinced that he's all in on the Terps like some believe. The decision to throw Damon and the program under the bus prior to the tournament was selfish, counterproductive as well. Now the rumblings still haven't gone away as they prepare for the Sweet 16. The longer this Villanova job remains vacant, the more I will grow worried.
Yeah, and he was on Kevin Willard down 980 in D.C. with Kevin Sheehan and didn't deny any Villanova overtures. I think he hasn't really decided yet, and he still has leverage. Even if they lose Thursday night, he's taken them where they haven't been in 9 years. So he's got that, but was he a little abrasive in the way he's going about things? Probably. He even admitted that he's an a-hole. So if you win, you can get away with it.
Yep.
If you suck and you're an a-hole, you got two strikes against you.
Trying to be the bad boy.
Yeah.
Never been the bad boy before, but let's see.
And the thing with him, who's he negotiating with? That's the thing.
Well, he said, I can't remember the name, but I was reading
Brian,
some quotes.
The lady?
No, it's
I'm sorry, I logged out. Anyway, but he said there's been a correspondence that's been good.
Someone in charge of the dimes and nickels that they're tossing around like manhole covers down there.
Kevin Plank?
Plank's probably like, how much more do you want?
Right.
Same with Gossett.
Well, over to the good from Maryland, the buzzer beater of Derek Queen. Texter here, though, maybe getting a little carried away, says, where does this Derek Queen buzzer beater rank in great Baltimore sports moments, at least in recent history? Are we ready to put it on the same level as Delmon Young's double, maybe even ahead of that? Are we going that far?
I would say it's in the conversation, because Delmon Young's double won game two. They still had to win another game to get through Detroit. I mean, great, exciting, maybe the most electric, outside of Cal breaking the record, most electrifying moment at Camden Yards, because there's never been a World Series game there. But Derek Queen, I mean, they were going to lose that game and their season was going to come to an end. I'm still thinking most recent, like Mile High Miracle's got to be numero uno, right?
Jacoby
right.
Jones.
Yeah.
Well, he said last 10 years, so I kind of paraphrased with recent.
Okay. Sure. It's in there.
One last topic here, one last text. Chris checking in says, I can see the Ravens taking a couple late round swings at tight ends. Try to develop them, stash them on special teams or the practice squad in preparation of losing maybe a few of their tight ends next offseason.
I think they'll lose one. I think it'll be Andrews, and I think they'll keep the other two. And it would not shock me that they drafted one late.
It's going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes. We're back tomorrow, 10 o'clock, with Woman Crush Wednesday, getting closer to opening day for the Orioles. And, of course, the matchup with Florida in the Sweet 16. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.